Daily for June 27th, 17. That's the year.
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday.
2017.
I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Pure One, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Are you hanging in there?
Hell yeah.
Coming right off that Feeling kind good. Of funny morning show, ready to do this thing?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're ready because we got a banger of a show.
We do. Look how many pages
it
there
is
are.
It is a big show. There's a
baker's
lot to talk
dozen
about.
Of pages.
No, you put it too early. You did it too. I'm just kidding. You can do whatever you want to. I love you very much. A huge show for you, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll get right into it. If you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. It is your daily source for video game news and nonsense. We jump into the news, give you a deep dive, run you through it, do your questions. Do everything. Remember, you need to be part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. That's where you can put in segments. You can put in your PSN names, your Steam names, your Xbox names if you need friends. But most importantly, put in questions. They become part of the show. I love it when you craft them around the news of the day. So I get to put you in there and do all these different things. Remember as well, we do the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, but it's not a live product there. If we get something wrong, we need you to keep us honest. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. You can post just the facts we're screwing up. I don't need your editorialization, Trevor Starkey. As well, we're trying something new today for the Twitch folks. At the end of the live recording, I will stick around and read subs and tips because we've been missing some and we're trying to figure out a better way to do that. However, thank you to everybody who's listening later on a podcast service or watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, this is a new show. We need your subs over on YouTube. We need your reviews over on podcast services. Even if you don't use either of those platforms, please go do it. It helps us out a lot. Let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Wow, the biggest whiff of Kevin's career on this. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
The seventh time, and you weren't even there for us. Wow, Kevin.
I hate you guys.
You need to think. Here comes Andy Cortez to save the day. Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
You fucker. He hit me in the nuts.
God damn it.
Oh. He hit me in the nuts.
Today, there are three items on the Roper Report. A baker's dozen. What I want to do is we're going to call them out by numbers this time for Vector. Vector wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and asked if we could number the stories because sometimes when he's doing stuff, he gets lost in which one we're talking about where we're bullshitting.
Okay, cool.
Good call, Vector. Number one, Vivendi's plan to get Ubisoft is still happening and it's getting crazier. There's more wrinkles to it.
Oh, man.
I'm going to read the GameSpot story here about your update on what's going on with this possibly hostile takeover of Vivendi taking over Ubisoft. But it's important to know that it all comes from Reuters. I'm reading the GameSpot story because they gave precious context to it because I'm not a businessman. Mm-mm. Some of the stuff they were saying in the Reuters thing, I wasn't picking up.
Weird words.
So, the Guillemots have increased their stake and now collectively own 13.6% of Ubisoft's shares and control 20.02% of its voting rights, according to a filing by France's AMF. However, it will reportedly not seek any additional seats on the board of directors. Five of the 10 directors are members of the Guillemot family, including Yves, who we talk about all the time, the board's chairman. Last week, Ubisoft expanded
Last
its
year.
Board.
Huh? Last year.
Last year, Ubisoft expanded its board with two new independent directors, bringing independent representation to the 50% mark. This is the point Ubisoft hoped to achieve as a means for helping to stave off Vivendi. Vivendi has steadily increased its control of shares in Ubisoft since 2015. Its ownership is now up to 27% of its shares and 24.5% of voting rights. At 30%, that's the important part. So basically 5.5% away, French law would mandate that it pursue a controlling stake in the company. Ubisoft and the Guillemots have repeatedly spoken out against Vivendi's move, saying it would hamper the publisher's ability to innovate and be agile, among other things. Vivendi said in early 2016 that it has no plans for a Ubisoft takeover, but its actions have suggested otherwise. In April, Reuters reported that Vivendi would pursue a takeover attempt this year. Last year, Vivendi took over French developer Gameloft, which was also founded and led by the Guillemots. Amidst all this, Ubisoft has continued to focus on live service games, VR, and support for Nintendo Switch, parentheses most notably making the upcoming Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. The company's stock price reached an all-time high on Monday, though it has fallen slightly since. What do you take away from all this?
So 3% away.
We're getting serious. Yeah. We're getting super, super serious here. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
I feel like this is one of those inevitable stories. We've been hearing about it for so long, and typically with this type of stuff, it ends with it happening.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, like I don't think that there's any way that they can get away from it. I think that they can just try to delay it as
well. That's
as
been
much
the most
possible.
Like the heartbreaking thing about this is I think when we talk about the big publishers, right? obviously there's the big three who make hardware. We don't even think about them. EA, the most evil company in the world. Activision, I just want to annualize shit. Ubisoft, they want to annualize shit. They want to make money. Don't get me wrong. But they're also the people of like, let's make an art house game. Mm-hmm. Let's do something for our fans. Let's keep making Rabbids even though they're popular. Let's make a Rayman game. Let's make Valiant Hearts. Let's make something on the UbiArt engine.
Well, also too, I think that Ubisoft has something special going for them in that they are a franchise house. It's not just like EA has its sports games and it's kind of just different sport, same game, you know, whereas with Ubisoft they have this whole range of different IP that they can go back to, and it's similar to Bethesda in the sense that like not every year needs to have every franchise,
sure,
so they can kind of not annualize things but every other year or every 3 years or every once in a while and
now
just change things
to
up.
Toss something out there you're saying, because I agree with what you're saying, but I know there is something when you say something's a Ubisoft game and you're using it as a pejorative, you know what that means.
True.
Here's an open world game, a million things to collect, a million things to do. I'm not against that. I love that. But it also runs to the fact of like, okay, cool, I'll play Division and be super invested in that. But For Honor, which isn't exactly, you know, not apples to apples exactly, but you know what I mean, isn't for me.
Yeah, but I mean, it's similar for to that Telltale argument, it's the same thing where it's like, okay, Madden and NBA Live are not the same thing either. So.
No, I know. I'm just saying just for the argument's 100%. Sake here of what it is. But again, I come down on the fact that I really fucking dig Ubisoft. And I'm not saying I dig every one of their games. Don't give a shit about Rainbow Six. Didn't care about For Honor. You know what I mean? Like, I thought Wildlands was a miss. But I appreciate that, first off, they make those kind of games. They make sure they find an audience with those kind of games. For the most part, they support them. I know people right now, and this is me speaking from my very limited scope of what games I care about from Ubisoft. I see other Division fans on the Division Reddit upset that they're not getting more updates, that this isn't happening, what's going on with the game. But I appreciate that Ubisoft doesn't bullshit. I appreciate that they come out and they're like, with Assassin's Creed, we're going to make an Assassin's... Somebody asked them years ago, hey, are you going to make an Assassin's Creed every year? And they're like, we'll make an Assassin's Creed every year as long as you buy them. Mm-hmm. And then when you stopped buying them or it seemed like it tempered, they were like, we're going to take a year off.
Yeah.
And they didn't bullshit you. And they came back a year later with Origins. And it's like, it looks better. It looks different. We'll see how great it actually turns out to be.
Yeah, it's interesting because my gut tells me that when I think of Ubisoft, I think of quality gaming experiences.
Right.
And I feel like the last couple of years, that's become less and less true, just in the sense that there's been a lot more misses in terms of all the Assassin's Creed bugs and all that.
Sure.
That becomes the
sure.
story. But I feel like that just goes back to there's just more in general.
100%.
There's more good. There's more bad. There is just more reporting on bugs. And there are more players playing these games. And there's betas and early access and all this stuff where it's like it's just a different landscape.
Right.
But thinking about even what they've done with the Rayman franchise, bringing back 2D platformers. And like the Rayman games they've been putting out, Legacy and Origins, those are the best Rayman games that exist.
Sure.
Rayman 2 is awesome, but that's a 3D platformer. But the original Rayman platformer, like 2D platformer, it was good and it's solid, but these new ones are up there with Mario games. And I'm saying that as a huge Mario fan, but they did something different with 2D platformers. And I think that is an example of Ubisoft really being committed to quality in a lot of ways. And I think that when you compare them to the Activisions and EAs, that's what sets them apart, is that there's quantity and quality. And of course there are misses, and of course there are a lot of fully buggy games, but it sounds like the last couple misses they've had in terms of Division and Rainbow Six Siege coming out and being a little content light, they do over the year
add to it.
And
Rainbow Six Siege is
a
great example
of
it coming out and like, hey, this is a game that everybody was super stoked about, and then it seemed like the mainstream walked away from, but the core audience stayed, and they continue to add to that to where now it is a game that you see on Twitch all the time.
And I guess that is what to me makes Ubisoft stand apart, is that it does have all the Ubisoft games, but they really cater to the audience of each one of those games in a way that the other publishers don't necessarily have that kind of microcosms within its library.
Yeah, I mean, what scares me about it is I think that that Ubisoft is good to the gamers for the most part. You know what I mean? First off, you play stupid. Who the fuck cares? I get it. You know what I mean? But they have franchises people want. They have audiences that they want to take care of. They make games for them. They stick around. They somehow walk the line better than most in terms of, yeah, we're a business. Yes, we're making art. Yeah, there's a middle area where we can all be happy.
Mm.
The problem with me and Vivendi is that I feel like Vivendi comes in with a lot of baggage in terms of their history, right? Because I was looking up to make sure I had it all right. And, you know, August 2006, Vivendi signed a deal with Spiral Frog to distribute Vivendi songs online, blah, blah, blah. On September 8th, the company announced that Sierra Entertainment, a division of Vivendi Games Group, would be publishing the new... When you start throwing out that, like, Vivendi was with Sierra, it's like... Oh, all right. These are the people who are populating that THQ space I always talk about.
Yeah.
We're not AAA. We're not independent. We're these mid-tier weird-ass games that don't really make money, but we're trying to make money. Mm-hmm. Like, we're putting these things out there that aren't a quality product, but we're trying to make money off of them.
Yeah, and I feel like those companies have been gobbled up over the last 15 years
yeah.
to get it to the point that there are just a cup. There is the big three, and then there are the big three third parties, and then from there, there's the Bethesdas and... 2K games of the world, I think, are the outliers more right. than anything.
And so that's the thing. On December 2nd, 2007, Vivendi announced that it would be merging its Vivendi Games unit with Activision in a $18.8 billion deal. This will allow the merged company, Activision Blizzard, to rival Electronic Arts, da-da-da-da-da. And it's one of those things of... It reminds me a lot in terms of... My knowledge base about it is very limited, obviously. My pool is very shallow. But it reminds me of when Ziff Davis bought IGN, right? And we were all like, oh my God, Ziff Davis, these are the guys that ran EGM into the ground and sold off. And it was like, they were like, no, we aren't those guys. We're just that name. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of the Vivendi from 2007 that was like, hey, we're out to make money and make mid-tier games that are just making a profit is the Vivendi now. But that's the fear, right? That is in a world where it is that Activision drops this because it can't be annualized.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to hear. Granted, Ubisoft makes annual franchises,
yeah.
but they usually are making good games on those.
I mean, the thing that bothers me the most about this is the fact that there's obviously a fight between the sure. Gimo family and Vivendi.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's disagreements and their visions do not align. If their visions aligned, this would be a very different conversation.
Yeah.
And the takeover could be a mutually beneficial thing. And we've seen that before. And we are on a different side of this. But even with like Rooster Teeth and Full Screen, sure. I think that I've seen Rooster Teeth go from what it was to what it is now via the help of Full Screen and having partners that believe in the same vision.
Right.
And that wasn't an issue at all. Ziff Davis and IGN, I would say, is the same thing to an extent.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Where Ziff Davis came in and made IGN better.
They I watched gave a movie last night that was in association with IGN Entertainment. I was like, what the fuck?
The things IGN are doing now on a giant scale are because Ziff Davis allowed them the resources to grow in the ways that they're yeah. growing. And I feel like that isn't what this is.
Yeah.
What this is Vivendi coming in and being like, all right, cool. It's cutting numbers.
We really like your portfolio. We'd yeah. love to come in and own all these and franchises.
Monetize. It's exactly. about monetizing a portfolio more than it is about actually believing and curating yep. the content. And you can tell that the Guillemot family are all about that with Ubisoft.
Well, I mean, look at Beyond
and
Good and Evil.
They need to make
right?
money at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, Beyond Good and Evil is a perfect example. Them coming out and crying and stuff, you can tell how much yeah. they care about the games that the gamers care about. And yeah. that's what's important. You're never going to see someone come out and cry about Madden, you know? Or any of those games. And I don't want to single out Madden, but like I guess Yarny is it wasn't called Yarny.
No,
was
Unraveled.
Unraveled, yeah.
Or Unravel.
Unravel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an exception to what I'm saying. But that is EA copying the Ubisoft
sure.
Playbook that we were talking about and why we praise Ubi. Every year at E3, the Ubisoft press conference is my favorite and the one that I look forward to the most of the third parties. And I sure. think that's because their library is so vast and varied. And they do have a commitment to at least trying different things and committing to visions on a game-by-game basis. And I don't think Vivendi's going to have that same outlook. And I think that's obvious with the conflict that is already arising here.
100%. And that's what's scary about it. And that's why it's, you know, I mean, we don't know Vivendi. We don't know the people behind it, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that a guy that I think is doing it right is clearly going to Canada to get investors to try to spend this off. And granted, it's like part of it's probably pride of like
an ego.
If somebody
and all
was buying up Kind of Funny shares, I'd try to buy against probably unless
unless we had the same vision.
Don't fucking think about it, Bernie Burns.
Now, but what's interesting there too is the fact that they're talking about how Vivendi is even in the last couple of years, because you're bringing up the fact of, oh, maybe it's a different Vivendi.
Yeah.
Even if it's a different Vivendi, they're still being kind of cagey saying, oh, we're not trying to do this.
And that's the thing. We're not trying to hostile take over. We're secretly buying shares. And like, what?
And now the business side of me says, well, obviously you're not going to come out and say your plans, because then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're buying them.
You know?
And then the story's twisted in a different way.
Sure.
So they're kind of putting between a rock and a hard place there, where when you're asked for a statement, you need to make a statement.
Right.
And even no comment is saying something. So.
Well, it's interesting. The next story, number two for you, Vector, on the Roper Report is more Ubisoft. This is Yves himself over on the Ubi blog talking about Splinter Cell. Quote, Splinter Cell is a... this is on AMA over on Reddit. Splinter Cell is a brand we talk about a lot. It's also personally one of my favorite series. We don't have anything specific to share at the moment, but teams are working on different things, so stay tuned for more. Then this is followed up with, I think, a response on the blog. We are receiving lots of sketches and proposals around the brand, that being Splinter Cell, and we're going to pick one up. I think you will be able to see something, but you will have to wait for that.
Sketches.
Yeah, I think it's
like
just
concept art.
I think it's a pitch. I think it's just him talking about pitches and proposals. Okay. But I think it's a language barrier. He just said the wrong word. Mm-hmm. What is interesting about this, and then I want to tie it back to Beyond Good and Evil, where, hey, help us make the game. We're not really. I think it's been happening for a while, because this isn't new, where they're, oh yeah, we're making another Assassin's Creed. Ubi's not doing the usual cloak and dagger stuff. They're talking about their big franchises coming, and I think this is interesting to tie it back to number one of, we're doing this to get our stock prices up, to make sure everyone understands that we have awesome shit coming, so that you're buying the stock and not Vivendi. That we can sit here and make a case to our board that, look at how well everything's going. And they've been doing it for a while. I should have brought in more of my examples, but those are the two most recent of, like, hey, yeah, no, this is happening. Same thing where, like, things are leaking, in quotes. Not like the, you know, GameStop spot leaks or whatever, stop leaks, but like
Kotaku with Ubisoft,
they're saying stuff, you know, rather than having it dribble out or have a big reveal about it.
That's a very interesting perspective, and I totally think that makes a lot of sense, especially when it is all about the positive press that you get. And I feel like Beyond Good and Evil, with especially a couple days ago, there was that tech demo thing
that everything's
showed off.
Beautiful.
And it's like that is what they need to do to really get investors behind you, not from a sales and numbers point of view, but from a passion and, oh, we believe in this product, and the gamers obviously believe, and there is a positive conversation happening around all of the social media spheres or whatever about Ubisoft. And it's like, all right, cool. Well, this Ubisoft is working. Let's not change things up too much.
And that's the thing too, is I don't know. I think it's, you know, hey, investor confidence, that's what we're doing, blah, 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 blah. It has the tangential relationship of people. I mean, I read all this stuff. Oh, good, you're doing what I want. You're talking about the things I want. So I start to get more, not angry, but more like bristly around this Vivendi idea of a Vivendi coming in, fucking everything up. No, stay away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember Wet, get out of here.
And I mean, going back to it too with Ubi, it's like they're doing such a great job of, you brought up THQ, but like saving the games that people wanted, like South Park, and now doubling down and making another one from it, their own new Ubisoft SF studio. Like this, they're making a lot of gamer friendly moves.
100%.
And I think that, this Splinter Cell news is even just more of that, where it's just like people want another Splinter Cell. So cool, let's get that conversation started.
Valiant Hearts, man. Make another Valiant Hearts. Third and final story on the Roper Report. Number three, former Playdead CEO's new project. This is from Gamatsu. I'm going to read it over there. Of course, Playdead, the folks behind Limbo, Inside. Dino Patty, the former CEO and co-founder of Limbo and Inside developer Playdead, and Chris Olsen, an animator and pre-visualization artist based in the UK, have founded Jump Ship, an independent game studio based
Great name.
In Guildford, and announced Somerville, the studio's first game. Jump Ship is currently building a team of experienced developers to work on Somerville. Its job listings include a gameplay designer, generalist programmer, character controller programmer, and character animator. Somerville began work as a personal side project for Olsen in 2014, and by 2016, he had built a proof of concept trailer, playable prototype, a small online presence from documenting the development process. That's a weird way to end that sentence. Further details about the game were not shared, but a short teaser was. You can find it online. I watched. It's not that interesting, but you don't know what the hell's going on, because it's just like a house, some weird giant monument in the background, lightning. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I mean, was the art style interesting? Because I feel like that's
interesting.
All you get.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like, it's so
early,
just
and
a
nothing.
Teaser, just an image. It's you know, they're not taking much away from anything in it, but it's more exciting. Of like, that's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I love Playdead. I loved. I you know I Loved Limbo. I fucking really dug Inside. Didn't like the ending, as you talked about, but then reflecting on how great the game was, it didn't matter.
Yeah, Limbo and Inside are two of my favorite games of all time. Like, yeah. If I were to make my top 50 list, I think that they're both pretty high up there. Mm-hmm. This is very exciting to me. It's always a bit of a worry when studios that I love that make games
brain drain starts going somewhere,
kind of just like go in different places, yeah, and start new teams, because it's never quite the same.
Sure.
And sometimes we've seen a lot of success with it, and other times it's like, all right, well, it's an almost type, yeah, situation. I feel like the like Journey and then Abzu is an example of this, where, yeah, it's just, yeah, like, oh yes, a lot of people that worked on it also worked on this, and it's like, well, it's not, sure, quite the same.
Sure. The argument I would always feel though is like, I feel like it's similar at IGN, where it's like, okay, well, you hit a glass ceiling. The founders aren't going to leave. These directors aren't going to leave. And you can only make so many games. So why not branch out and do something different and then have new talent lead, you know, rise, yeah, up and get those chances. And I think you're seeing it. I mean, my example is always Naughty Dog, right? Where I think the people who made Crash aren't the people who made Uncharted. And then even now with like how much change has happened there, to see Kurt step up, who, mm-hmm, I remember Kurt being just a level designer, right, when I talked to him, and now he's making Uncharted The Lost Legacy. And that's a really cool option for them.
Yeah, definitely. And also I think that just looking at the roles that they're looking for here, gameplay designer, generalist programmer, character controller programmer, and character animator. I mean, that tells me, all right, cool, we're getting another Limbo and, yeah, Inside style game. 100%. The focus on the animation, like that's really, I think, important.
Yeah, 100%.
And the fact that one of the two dudes are very, like a previs artist and animator, it's like, cool, great. I do have faith in this. I'm going to be interested to keep my eyes on it.
Yeah, see what they come up with. So congratulations to them. Let's see what's coming out today, though. This is the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every day. It's a big day. It's Tuesday. That's big release day. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm going to pepper in some questions here. Remember, I need you to be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD. Here we go. Out today. Danganronpa, another episode. Ultra Despair Girls, PS4, PC. RPG Maker Fez, 3DS. Timeout. I wanted to give a shout out, of course, to Kotaku.
Okay.
Kotaku has this great roundup for the week. And like coming out of doing Games Daily last week, was everything went well. You guys are a fantastic audience. But learning where to go for this new stuff that I haven't had gathered before was kind of fucked because it was right after E3, so people were off or whatever. Mm. Kotaku has this amazing rundown that they're updating, awesome, on the fly. So shout out to Kotaku. The Golf Club 2 on Xbox One, PS4, PC. Valkyria Revolution, Xbox One, PS4, Vita. Fuck.
Oh, God, give it to me, Greg.
You know how much I love Valkyria Chronicles. Mm-hmm.
And the Vita.
Yeah, and the Vita, of course. So then, yeah, when they announced this, I'm like, cool. And they're like, well, you know, different storyline, different gun. I'm like, I don't care. It's, how bad could it be? Not bad, apparently. Well, depending on who you talk to. IGN gave it a 6. And I was like, oh. And then you looked around, like, US Gamer got like 2 out of 5. I was like, oh. It's like not doing well, which sucks. And then, of course, I tweeted out the IGN score, and I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people hit me up, or not a bunch, they were many people patting me on the back. It's okay. Sorry this happened to you. But one guy was like, it's just review score. Play it for yourself. And then another guy who said, this, after defending so many 50s, I can't. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't say I'm not going to play it. I'm just like, anything
after
that
I'm defending so many 50s.
After, yeah, I know, right? Because I'm like really
Greg
there.
Miller defending the 5 out of 10 game. No, don't worry about that.
Again, Peter Brown sold Friday the 13th up the river over at GameSpot with that 4 out of 10. And I, yeah, told him at E3 the first fucking chance I got. But no, it's when anything comes out in a franchise you love, you want it to be well-received. You, mm-hmm, want people to love it. So like to wake up and see 6, like, fuck.
Like, damn it.
And way lower than that. Yeah. However,
felt that last year with Star Fox.
Of course. My dog Nick 96 wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can. It says, hi guys, I'm a fan of Valkyria Chronicles. I bought the first two and even imported the third game because of how much I like the series. I picked up Valkyria Revolution knowing full well it is a different kind of game. I'm definitely disappointed with it overall. Despite enjoying similar games like Dynasty Warriors. This is a spinoff, however, with a completely different backstory. When Valkyria Chronicles Remastered was released, there was a survey you could take asking what players wanted from the series. I'm curious if the feedback from that and the response to the spinoff will tell developers to return to the original strategic gameplay of the first three games. Do you see this possibly happening? Thanks for all the hard work and the great content you guys provide every week. My dog Nick 96. You hope.
I mean, I feel like the answer is yes.
All the reviews I glanced at and read, and like I read, you know, IGN summary and the verdict, and I read some US gamers, and it was like people being like, hey man, these other games were great. This isn't that. This doesn't touch that. The new action-y combat isn't, yeah, that. It's not strategic enough to be interesting. And it's like, you hope that they look into that, but Sega is so weird.
Sega is weird, but I feel like they're not stupid. They're just weird. Mm. And I think when they look at a lot of this stuff, it's like they clearly look at this as a spin-off title.
Yeah.
Like they don't look at it as a core Valkyria experience. And I think that them kind of marketing it that way and doing the surveys and stuff, they are listening. Like this is the same Sega that is giving us Sonic Mania. So yeah, it's like, okay, cool. They understand.
Wow, I never had my phone.
They understand what it is that that people want from their franchises, and a lot of the times they give it, like with Atlas and all of that stuff. But
yeah,
even the Shin Megami Tensei, there's so many spinoffs, and it's like that never stops them from getting back to the proper core franchise line eventually.
As a fan of Valkyria, what fucked it was the march to PSP. And I loved, don't get me wrong, I mean, the saddest part about all this is the fact that as great as Valkyria Chronicles 1 was on PS3, Valkyria Chronicles 2 on PSP is far and away a better game than Valkyria Chronicles 1, but criminally underplayed because it was put onto PSP. Then they made 3, but never imported it or never, you know, brought it over from Japan. So I think the most interesting thing would be your survey results and then the sales of the remaster of Valkyria Chronicles that is on PlayStation 4 now, and I think a bunch of other stuff. I know it's on PC, but whatever. Like, that is the one that I think is going to speak loudest. But even then, I don't know if Sega cares.
This goes back to what I was saying, them being weird.
Yeah.
I might take back the stupid thing, because I almost believe that Sega doesn't worry about sales numbers as much as anyone else does.
Yeah.
And that's a problem as a business.
Sure.
But like, looking at some of the decisions they've made in the last decade in terms of what franchises to bring back when, it really just kind of seems like it is what they want to do on their own schedule, whether or not there's an audience ready for it. And going back to Sonic, I think seeing the Sonic games we've had in the last 10 years, they're so many of them are like, all right, cool. They are trying to win people back. And then there's some weird things like the fucking Werehog and shit and Unleashed. But then you get to stuff like Sonic Boom, and it's like, all right, you're doing this because you have a plan with cartoons and a whole structured deal to make this a multimedia thing. You're not worrying about the people, you know? And I feel like, and then at the same time, they're always releasing small indie games or smaller titles like this.
Yeah.
That it's just because they just want to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, my fear about this would have been, hey, Valkyria Chronicles, as people knew it, was critically acclaimed, but underplayed, didn't make us money, blah, blah, blah. Let's take the brand and reinvent it for a new age. And what do people like to play now? And it's this weird, less strategy, more actions. Like,
but I see that more as like the Metroid Federation force of the series.
I hope so, but it seems like it takes them so long to turn around games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially for Valkyria.
Yeah.
Up next on the list, Summon Night 6 Lost Borders is coming to PlayStation 4 and Vita. Minecraft Story Mode The Complete Adventure is coming to Switch. America's Army Proving Grounds is on PlayStation 4. Ancient Amuletor is on PlayStation VR. Tower Defense, enjoy. Cavernous Wastes is on PlayStation 4 and PSVR. And I urge you all, not right now during this show, but when you have time, because many of you are driving listening, go to the PlayStation blog, look at the drop, and then look at the art they put up. It is literally just a cavernous cave of some kind. And it's like, explore shit. I'm like, if this thing isn't a fucking easy platinum, which we are about to talk about in a little bit, it fucking is missing a huge boat.
Oh, man.
Arizona Sunshine comes to PlayStation VR. This is a worth another call out. We have a question, of course, from Jamie, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. But first, there is a Let's Play of this game up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Please go watch it. Andy and I run through it. Of course, if you haven't been following, we started this new thing called Party Mode, which is us all fucking around. Then there's the Kind of Funny Plays, which is us like, hey, we're playing a game for the first time and exploring, or I want to show you the game. That's kind of what this is. But the game's weird and shooting zombies and it's not that great. Sadly, which is really upsetting, because everyone's comments on the Let's Play are like, man, I urge you to go play this on Vive or whatever. It's better there. It doesn't have the jittery controls. It looks better, runs better. Mm-hmm. On PlayStation VR, it is very much lame.
Arizona Sunshine is a cool name.
It is
weird that it's a zombie game.
My thing about it is, it's a cool name, but it's a cool game, or it's a cool name at the expense of ever selling that game.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
true.
If you see this on a list, you're in your car, and I was like, I just ran through a bunch of games and named them, right? Like, I was like, Ancient Amuletor, you know what I mean? That doesn't sound like Tower Defense. And then if I just said Arizona Sunshine on PlayStation VR moved on, you have no idea that that's a zombie game.
Yeah.
Granted, the Z in Arizona is red in the key art. So that's where it is. That's where they get you.
Okay.
We have a fun, so it's a fun Let's Play of us being shooting zombies and making fun of the game a little bit. So go check that out. Jamie wrote in though and said, with Arizona Sunshine coming out today and still being unable to purchase the AIM controller on its own, is Sony shooting itself in the foot here?
Well, they don't have AIM, so of course they are.
Nice. I
don't think so.
No, this is back to the whole thing of like the AIM controller. I thought was interesting that it came out of nowhere. I mean, granted, it came for Farpoint, and I didn't like. For the record, too, on the Let's Play comments, a lot of people were like, man, fuck this. Why aren't you guys playing Farpoint? We played the first 20 minutes of Farpoint on a Twitch stream. We debuted that game. That was an exclusive. Y'all suck. Yeah, it's the normal thing of just like with VRs in such short supply still. The AIM controller is in short supply. It's this weird thing of they're still not treating VR with the respect it deserves or possibly needs, even though they now know that that's what it is, right?
Mm.
I don't think they're shooting themselves in the foot. I don't think it was going to move a million units. I'm more impressed that more games are using it. I didn't really expect that when I got for Farpoint, you got this peripheral. I'm like, here's something no one else ever used, but it's like, no, the Paperboy special delivery game does. This game uses it. There's other ones on the docket that are going to come out and do it. You're like, oh, okay. Not too shabby. I can put up with that. Up next, Cryptarch on PlayStation 4. Dark Arcana The Carnival on PlayStation 4. Diablo 3 Eternal Collection, PlayStation 4. Many people have asked me if I'm going to jump back into it because I love Diablo 3 so much. Nah, I've played enough Diablo 3. I'm not in the mood to jump back in there. Elite Dangerous on PlayStation 4. Medieval Defenders on PlayStation 4. Plague Rogue on Road on PlayStation 4, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is already out on Vita. Poi, Xbox One, PS4. The World of Nubla on PlayStation 4. I'm going to say it again because you're all going to need to make a mental note for this one, all right? Because we're going to come back to this. The World of Nubla on PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Remember that title. It will be very important soon. The 10th Line on PlayStation 4. And Final Fantasy 15 Episode Prompto.
Our boy.
Xbox One, PS4. You going to play that?
I'm not. I'm kind of over the 15 world by now.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just feel like it's been a little... The little bits they've been putting out, the DLC stuff, I played a bit of the first one. I think it was the Gladiolus one, and I was just like, all right, cool.
Have you seen the trailer for this one, though?
No, I haven't.
I think it was, it must have been Andy and I watched it. Andrea and I watched it before Kind of Funny Games Daily last week, and it, like, looks like Metal Gear.
Really?
Like, it looks way different.
I mean, hey, I'm not against it. Oh, I wasn't planning on picking it up.
No, it looked cool. And then I want to toss this in here. A correction. Not a you're wrong, a correction written in... by the developer, thank you for watching the show. And then also I saw it on the PlayStation blog, but they didn't have the whole thing. So yesterday I said Brawlhalla is finally coming out on PlayStation 4. That's weird, especially for a Monday release on a PlayStation 4. This is the release I got. While the PlayStation blog stated the epic free-to-play platform fighter was coming out yesterday and it was briefly available on the PlayStation Store, Brawlhalla was listed early and has now been taken off the store. PlayStation gamers will have to wait a little longer before entering Valhalla and joining the eternal tournament enjoyed by millions of PC gamers. The PS4 closed beta of Brawlhalla is currently running with signups still open. Blue Mammoth Games doesn't want to disappoint any of the lucky individuals who downloaded the game when it was briefly available, so they are now in the closed beta. More news on both the PlayStation 4 closed beta and Brawlhalla's launch will be announced in the coming weeks, and you'll be one of the first ones to know when we do. So first off, good on them for getting out there with the messaging.
Yeah.
Crazy story of your game went up on the PlayStation Store and was
super weird.
Advertised.
Fun game, too. I played back at PAX 2 years ago.
I was going to say, that's the problem, is that Andrea and I was making fun of this yesterday and we talked about it. I feel like Brawlhalla's been at every PAX and RTX for the last 5 years, but...
Yeah,
awesome. Good to get it out there.
I don't put that against the game though. I think that it's one of those ultimate chicken horse type games where it's just like the people that are playing it on Steam fucking love it,
sure.
And that's where its audience.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it feels like it's been around forever.
Yeah.
Interesting to see it though that it accidentally published to the PlayStation Store. It's one of those. I don't hear about it rarely, but I think you have to be in the communities or have an example like this happen. I know recently, too, with Friday the 13th, this happened, where the Savini skin, which is exclusive to Kickstarter backers, got published on the PlayStation 4 for like half a day. And it was like this huge rigmarole, hullabaloo that had happened. Before I get out of this segment, new dates to tell you. RoboCraft Infinity is coming to Xbox One and PC in the first quarter of 2018. Now, Timothy.
Yes.
Games with Gold got announced for July.
Okay.
I didn't know where to put it. I felt like it wasn't worth the Roper's report. It's not like news we need to discuss.
Yeah.
It's not a new date. So I put it in Deals of the Day.
Deals of the Day. That's where
it belongs. From here henceforth, Deals of the Day will include Xbox Games with Gold and the PlayStation Plus Games of the Month. So right now, Xbox Games with Gold for July. You're going to get on Xbox One, Grow Up, from July 1st to July 30th, and Runbow July 16th through August 15th. Meanwhile, on the Xbox 360 and Xbox One, you're getting Kane and Lynch 2, July 1st through July 15th, and then Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, the video game, July 16th through the 30th.
For some reason, I didn't know that was a thing.
Which one?
Lego Pirates.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's Lego for any mood you're in, man.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Now, Tim, mm-hmm. It's time for reader mail.
Okay.
But instead of doing that,
okay,
I want to jump into a meaty segment that kind of got away from me.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
Mm-hmm. So what happened is I wanted to introduce a new segment-y kind of thing, but now it's just going to become a trophy talk because it is Tuesday. It's the day to talk about PlayStation.
It's the day. It's
right?
the holy day.
It is the day that Shuhei made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I was going to do a new segment called My Name's Greg and I'm a Trophy Whore.
Okay.
And walk you through falling off the wagon.
Got it.
Because yesterday, our good friend, Brian, mm-hmm. over at youtube.com/PS4Trophies, put up a video, the top 50 easiest and quickest platinums.
Oh, no.
And let me tell you.
This is going, Greg.
Well, because let's start small. Because it starts with me just being a trophy whore, sucking that platinum dick wherever I can. You know what I mean?
I know.
Wherever
what you
I
mean.
Can get it, that's when I'm going to do it. And you know how it is. I go through periods where I just don't care. It just doesn't matter. Oh, there's easy things. But then, like, a video like this drops. And I'm like, well, how easy can they be? And I'm like, fucking less than 30 minutes? You got a damn right. I'm going to go home and download Mr. Masagi. Downloaded Mr. Masagi last night. Now, I'm offended, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that not more of you told me about Mr. Masagi. Mr. Masagi from the people who made My Name is Mayo. All right. Now, here's the thing. I know we automatically want to throw a stone at him right away. Tim.
We do.
We want to throw a stone.
Mm-hmm.
My Name is Mayo. What the fuck was the point of this game? Mr. Masagi. Easy platinum. Yes. Can you just walk up? It's just a, you know, you're, it's an easy platinum. It's a cheap platinum. However, I am recommending a party mode with you and Nick playing it because what it is a Tinder simulator.
Okay.
Where you pick your response and talk to these girls. You're picking up and you have to change your profile pic and
like
try
this.
To pick them up. You'll fail and like not, 1 star, 2 stars, 3 stars, the most you can get. Then if you succeed, your reward is a massage where the controller vibrates. And you can put it on your neck or your body, wherever you want to put
wherever
it.
You wanna,
wherever you want to put it.
Fun stuff. All right. But that's a platinum I'm like, I can get behind.
Unlike My Name is Mayo, which was just tap, tap, tap. This is really dumb. There is story, funny lines here, funny interactions.
Okay.
Again, if you do what I do and you went to, you know, PlayStationTrophies.org and you got the walkthrough, you just read. You know, I'm just circling through everything, not reading most of it, deleting. And I'm like, okay.
You're a broken person.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It gets worse.
Bro,
there's
an issue here.
No, I know. It gets worse, though. Stick with me. And then I'm like, okay, cool. And while I looked at the response Brian put up, I'm like, are people down with this like I am? Of course people are super excited about fucking easy platinum.
Of course they are.
Then one guy's like, have you heard of Energy Cycle yet? It just came out. And Brian's like, no, it wasn't out by the time I published this. Energy Cycle, a game on the PlayStation 4, apparently, they say glitch in the YouTube video I watched, but I haven't done it yet. But in 15 minutes, you can get the platinum trophy out of this.
15 minutes, okay.
So you're goddamn right, I bought Energy Cycle.
Yeah.
Then, in the video, Brian's number one, and correct me if I'm wrong, chat, correct me if I'm wrong on kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, is number one is Nubla. N-U-B-L-A.
So you're bringing this back.
Stick with me.
Oh my God.
Nubula. And I'm like, okay, cool. I look at it again and it's the same thing. 30 minutes or less to go through and get this trophy, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. I go to PlayStationTrophies.org as I do. I look at the trophy list there and it's Nubula. And then there's the world of Nubula. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I click on Nubula. All right. See it. Blah, blah, blah. I put it in my head. I'll get this one later. I put a little bookmark there. Then I do the rundown of the drop and see the world of Nubla's coming out today. And I'm like, oh, that's the other one that shares the same name. And I go, wait a second, Tim, these are the same games. Nubla and the world of Nubla are literally the exact same game with different names, different trophy lists. I mean, same trophy list, but separate ones. So that they're just putting the same game up with a different name.
Is this game made just for trophy whores?
I don't know. I won't go that far because it gets worse.
Are we going to get Nubla Galaxy
here's
soon?
Where we start. Here's where we start teetering. Where am I down with Mr. Masagi? Of fucking course I am. Am I down with Energy Cycle? Sure. Cheap ass games to give me a platinum like Taco Master or whatever. Taco Master, a fun game. Fun enough to play. You know what I mean? I'm building some tacos. There's something there. Unlike My Name is Mayo, which was just let's click, right? My Name is Mayo, I think, is what spurred on February 14th. We did an episode of PS I Love You called PSN Trophies Are Broken. Nubla is the first time where I'm looking at it and going like, huh, maybe like, yeah, this is really broken. Now, I mean, like before it was like the haha, this is dumb. Why can't Ground Zeroes have a platinum, but fucking My Name is Mayo has a platinum, right? And that's where I always tell people, if you're making a game, have a platinum. Don't accept no as an answer. You can do it, blah, blah, blah. And then you just said, is Nubla made just for trophy people? And I say no. It looks like there's an actual game there. I haven't played it yet. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm going to play both of them. I'll get back and I'll give you some extensive research.
I'm sure that you will.
Then Wario 64 this morning, as if knowing I am building the show and maybe things are really fucked up with the PlayStation Network trophies, puts out this one. For less than a dollar, in less than an hour, you can get a platinum. And he puts out this game, which is 5 stars in a row, 1,000 top rated.
98 cents.
I will now read you the actual description on the PlayStation Network, and you want to give me the one, for 5 stars in a row, and this is just star, 1,000 top rated. How would you like to win a platinum trophy in just 1 hour? That's the idea of 1,004K, I'm sorry, how's the idea of 1,004K images grab ya? Art thou ready to platinum up? 5 stars, 1,000, top rated, the world's fastest platinum trophy game.
So they're not even accurate.
No shame in this game. They are just like, fuck you, we're here to give you a platinum for 98 cents.
And they obviously don't even know about Energy Cycle or Nubla or the world of Nubla.
Yeah, I know, that's
or
the problem. Mr. They didn't consult with me, they didn't consult with Brian, but I've never seen someone come out of the blue and be like, hey,
we're mentioning trophies.
Our game's a fucking joke. Do you want a platinum trophy? And so then, now feeling that something is really wrong in the force, not that it's going to stop me, because I did immediately buy this game. You're goddamn right I bought it. I got to move the things around to make images, I think, is what this game is. Whatever. I bought the damn thing, of course, because I want the platinum trophy. But then I quote tweeted Wario and I said, what does everybody think about this? I want your input for this show about trophies. Like the fact that these cheap... So many of you did.
Before you get in there, I have a question for you, Greg.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, I'd play Final Fantasy X.
Sure.
And I would grind and grind and grind to get the ultimate weapons.
Yeah.
And I didn't need them. I already beat the game. I already beat a lot of the bosses. Why was I doing this? Why was I dodging the thunder in the Thunder Plains? It was annoying. It wasn't fun. Why was I battling over and over and over just to get my stats up, just to know that my numbers were good?
Of course.
Right? There's something about it that was just satisfying. Yeah. Okay? I often thought, okay, if I had a button that I could just press, that it would just level me up. Would I just level up? Would I just get there?
Yeah.
What's the difference between just using a Game Shark, getting where I need to go? For you,
yeah.
You're willing to pay 98 cents
sure I am.
For this trophy. Yeah. You're willing to pay $5, $10, $15 as you go up.
$15 seems too much.
No, as you add it up.
Sure, it's my cumulative total. Sure, yeah.
To get these trophies. Would you have shame hiring a trophy hunter?
Sure.
Someone who's just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to pay you $10 a day to just fucking grind, get me them trophies, get me that number.
Right.
Is that different to you?
That is different than me. Okay. As you may remember, back in the day, after the Podcast Beyond Trophy Horror War, we signed a trophy armistice. It was me, it was Colin, it was Jack DeVries, it was all these different people who weighed in on this thing. And one of the rules was, no, you cannot have someone else earn you the trophies. You have to earn them yourself. Now, did this include, this also barred using debug menus? I once walked into the Dead Rising 2 debug menu and I was like, oh shit, I could actually just give myself all the, not all the trophies, but all the kills, which would then unlock all the trophies.
Oh.
Colin got real mad at that. We said, no, sure that was part of, we settled no on
there
that.
There has
you know
to be
mean?
Rules.
There does. And that's the thing is, technically, everyone's playing within the rules right now. The problem is the rules are still so fucking murky. And here's what I want to jump to, all right? I want to go here. Apology, I think, says it best. Apology's response was, the existence of this game, and he's talking about the 98 cents, 1,000 images, whatever, doesn't bother me at all. The fact that other devs haven't fought for plats for their games is what bothers me. And this is what I always come back to when we talk about trophies, when I talk to an indie developer, when I'm on the phone with the Moss guys, and I ask them, do they have a platinum? And like, oh, we don't know. I'm like, have a platinum. And I'm not saying it because I am saying it because selfishly I want there to be a platinum in the game. But I'm also saying it because what's broken about the PSN is that there's not a rule book, and like developers are out there in the wilderness making their game, making it as awesome as they can. And I'm talking about a spectrum here, making Moss as awesome as it can be, and not thinking about when they get to this one challenge, when they get to this one gatekeeper, they're like, all right, cool. And then they, oh, you have to put trophies in the game. Oh, how does that work? Well, you're a downloadable, whatever. You seem short, so do this. Don't put a platinum in. This is how much you have to work with. And they go, okay. They don't sit there and think, wait, no, I want a platinum. All these fucking shitty games have a platinum. Why can't I? And it's that's the whole thing. What I've been told is if you push, if you just say, no, no, we want a platinum, and they go, no, 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 we want a platinum, they eventually go, all right, fine, whatever. You know what I mean? Get out of my hair. And I assume that's what's happening here. And that's why the real shame of this is the great games that don't get a platinum. Games with platinum sell better. The only reason anyone is buying Mr. Masagi is for this, I assume. My Name Is Mayo was the same thing.
Yeah. I feel like there's an argument on the other end, though, that if every game had platinum, then games with platinums wouldn't sell better because they all have platinums. So it's like it is on the devs to know that is a selling point.
Sure.
But I feel like the game, but it's like that's also not really a selling point unless that is your only selling point, like 5-star, 1,000 top rated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the easiest platinum in an hour, which isn't even true. Yeah. You know, over there, you know, Scott McClough says, this just cheapens the whole system, but will it stop me from buying it? I don't know. Jeff Rademacher, no. Do you care that there's cheap ass platinums like this? No. I care when the platinum is insane. # looking at you, Friday the 13th, which is another great example. And see, this is where I think it comes back to with me, where I'm like, well, I put in 15 minutes to get one of these fucking platinums. You goddamn right I will. Because enough games have fucked me over in the end where it's like, no, Friday the 13th. Maybe in 5 years I'll have played enough Friday the 13th to actually have that platinum. But I hear even though some of them are glitched right now. It's like there's such pains in the ass about everything.
I feel as someone that is not a achievement hunter, trophy guy, like I don't care too much.
Yeah,
I appreciate when trophies are thought out, not in the sense of like from top to bottom of, oh, I gotta get this platinum, but more like, oh, you know what, like that sounds like a fun challenge to give myself, to kind of go about and, you know, I'm gonna play this game a little more because I do want to see if I can find all of these things that are fun to find, not 1,000 kills. Like, that's not fun.
Alicia Baker is right on the same page as you. All I want is for Plats to be reasonable. Horizon and Wolfenstein are perfect examples. Can't speak to Wolfenstein because I'm gonna restart playing that after 4th of July vacation, but yeah, Horizon's such a fun platinum to go through, and it's not insane, and it's not, here's this, like, fucking, I think back to South Park, where when I was playing through South Park the first time before release, so there were no guides or anything, I was like, man, this seems like a platinum you could arguably get in one playthrough, but of course, there was a chin Pokemon on the UFO that I didn't see, and so I couldn't get back there, and it's like, oh, I'm not gonna replay the fucking game for that thing, come on, you know what I mean? Like, and there was, it turned out, a harder trophy list than that, but.
But like, I'm thinking about like the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, right?
Sure.
A franchise I care about, obviously, a lot.
Yeah.
The game's coming out and the trophy list leaked a couple weeks ago. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, you know what? Like, this does kind of motivate me to want to put even more time into the games. Mm-hmm. Whereas originally I was planning on just beating them. Now I'm not planning on platinuming them, but there is a chance that maybe at least one of them, I'm like, you know what? I will try to do all of the things.
Yeah.
Because I do care about these games and I do love them. So it's like, I appreciate an extra reason to go back.
No, see, that's how it works for me with platinums, is that if I'm going to get a platinum in a game, it's because I love the game and I feel it's the highest compliment I can give it. Or there's some fucking joke game that you can get in 2 seconds. I think it's funny in the increase it that way and fucking around with it that way. Final comment from Twitter over here is Ryan Nicholas. I don't play/buy games to go for easy ones. There is no sense of accomplish from them. If I want a platinum, I want to work for it. That's why I go for platinum in games I really enjoy or are a challenge. Like, I'm really proud to have a Persona 4 Golden and Ni No Kuni Platinums. Those are both great examples. Obviously, lots and lots of time being put into that to make that happen. So, yeah.
There you go.
Everything's fucked up right now. But is it bad? Because I don't know.
I mean, as long as people are happy and getting enjoyment out of it.
Everything's changing is the thing.
There's that one guy, and I'm blanking on his names right now, but the dude
Steve
that
Gaynor,
we...
who didn't put a platinum in Gone Home.
The dude that we do the Google Hangouts with all the time from East.
Xavier. Oh.
Not Xavier. No.
Josh Grav.
Yes, Josh Grav. Yes. Like, every time we talk to him and he's talking about how many games he's platinumed, and like, he's freaking hardcore and dedicated. And I love that. And it's for guys like him that I do wish that there was a bit more of a rule book for people to follow to actually put the trophies in, because he does really care about
it. See, my thing about it is this, where it's like, as somebody who cares about them but loves a dumb garbage platinum every so often, is there's a world of difference. When somebody jumps in to look at my profile and they're, oh man, Greg's played a lot and his platinums are fucking the joke games. Greg's joking around with us. You understand that. Whereas if you jump into Josh's profile, you're like, oh fuck,
this is impressive.
He's platinuming real games, right? Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, with the exception of when Colin and I would fuck around, I would never be like, well, I am level 30 with this many plat. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's all fucking nothing.
Yeah.
I can't even do more than two pull-ups on the bar. That's where the self-confidence problems are. You know what I mean? I'm not walking around with my digital penis hanging around out here. Let's jump into reader mail now. Of course, you need to be part of the show. kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I'm looking around. We're running long already. I want to find some good stuff in here. Oh, this is one I found interesting.
Some of that good stuff.
Robert Kubicki wrote in and said, Days Gone theory here. And a lot of zombie fiction, zombies are created by a virus. What if the freakers in Days Gone were created by a mutated version of the siphon filter virus?
My God.
This could be a fun Easter egg for longtime fans of the studio. It wouldn't have to be part of the larger story and could easily be included as an intel document or something. What do you think the chances of this being true are? Thanks and have a great day. Can't wait for Days Gone.
I am all about that.
That's a great that. Fucking idea,
My
Robert.
Thing is, I do believe that things like this overall can cheapen games when everything needs to be shoehorned into whatever, but I don't care because I love that type of stuff. I love the weird crossover Easter egg things that only the really hardcore people 100%. Give a fuck about.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the nod. You know, it like he said, it doesn't need to be part of the larger story. It doesn't need to be something that really matters. It doesn't need to be like a huge moment in the game where it's like a reveal.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's just something where it's like, oh, there's enough evidence to be like, that's what it was.
See,
I love that.
That's the thing is, I think if it is an intel document, if you're not even if it isn't something you're collecting, because that doesn't sound like something you do in this game. But if you're infiltrating a hideout where all these people are and you're shooting them, and like this was like where the military was holed up, or this is where some outpost was, and it was like on a whiteboard, siphon filter virus ? You know what I mean? Like, that'd be fucking rad. Like, so I think cool. That's a great idea, even if it's Mei Ling's the doctor or something. Not Mei Ling. I want to say Lian Xing. That doesn't sound right, though. Fuck, that's going to drive me crazy. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Gabe Logan's partner, who's very important
last in the PSP games. Last Siphon Filter I played.
Really?
Was Siphon Filter 2.
I think it was Leon?
Rhymes?
Leanne Rhymes. How do I live without... Alan E. McAdams wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can to be part of the show, and says, Greg and Tim. Here we go. I was right. Leanne Zing. I'm not saying, that's not how you say it though. Zing. X-I-N-G. How would you pronounce that? Leanne Ing? Ing?
No.
Ing? Zing? Whatever, I nailed it. Alan wrote and said, Greg and Tim. While E3 saw some great announcements, Nintendo was silent on one game, Super Mario Maker. I felt like it was one of the best things they put out on Wii U, so where is the Switch port, or at least a hint of the sequel? Loving the new show, keep up the excellent work. Alan E. McAdams. Tim, yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, it's too early. The Mario Maker just came out on 3DS last year. They're not trying to...
That's why I would think you'd get it out right away and just ride this whole wave. If it's everywhere, you want to play it, there it is.
I think that it's clear looking at Mario Maker and Super Smash Brothers that the titles of those games, Super Smash Brothers for Wii U, Super Smash Brothers for 3DS, Mario Maker for Wii U, Mario Maker for 3DS,
yeah,
there will be a Mario Maker for Switch. The thing is, I think that at that point, they're like, it should be a sequel. We can't just do it again, the same game again. Mario Maker on Switch is going to be awesome. I loved playing Mario Maker on the 3DS because being on a plane and having portable Mario is awesome. The 3DS version was very gimped, however. And I think that going forward, the Switch version is just going to be even better than the Wii U one. That's going to be a huge system thing. But I also think Nintendo's being smart right now, looking at the franchises it's putting out. They can't bust their load too much because they just don't have too much more to give eventually.
Sure.
And I think that they need to get way more Switches out in the open for a game like Mario Maker to really be a success.
I liked it on the Wii U, didn't play it on 3DS, but like on Switch, I feel like, again, as I feel like with every game I play on the Switch, it would be perfect for it. In the way of, yeah, to get on, have all the everything I want there, have the touchscreen, let's do it.
It's hard to think about what a sequel, like what a Mario Maker 2 would add.
Yeah.
Because there's, I mean, I guess it could just add another art style, but even then I don't know what game it would be taking from. And there's certain things like the slopes and all of that,
yeah.
But those are little incremental things. People are talking about, like, oh, a 3D Mario Maker. That's a little crazy. A Zelda Maker. I don't know. There's, like, a lot that they can do. Nintendo has a lot of weird franchises that are, like, spin-off things, like the NES Remix.
Yeah.
Will we see more of that? Because that was such a fun idea where it's like, let's take the classic games and not just put them out again, but to add to them and make it a fun experience that teaches new kids that these old games exist, but gives veteran players something new and fun to do. And Mario Maker to me is the type of game that I can play for the rest of my life because it's just infinite Mario platform.
Sure.
And as long as there's people making levels and people thinking and trying to be creative and it has that community, which Mario Maker still does, and I think it'll only get bigger on the Switch. 100%. I think Nintendo knows. I think that we'll see it mid-2018.
You assume every level that's been made before ports over with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Tim, are you ready to squad up?
I am ready to squad up.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is a segment of the show where one of you has written in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, and you have given your Steam name, your PSN name, your Star Wars Old Republic name, whatever name you need to get some support from the best friends. I read it aloud here. The best friends come and find you. You play games together. Everybody's very, very happy. Today, Rain Go Away wrote in from the PSN. That's Rain, R-A-I-N-E, Go Away, all one word, and says, I'm from Asia. And so the usual people who talk on mics are Japanese or Korean, and I speak neither of those languages. I'm sick of playing alone and having to deal with teammates that just don't get the objective. I play Overwatch and Battlefield 1. So, if you guys have those games, squad up with me. Love the podcast, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Heart emoji. Again, that's PSN. Rain, go away. He is stuck in Asia, and he does not speak any of the languages of that continent. Can you save him, English speakers? In Overwatch and Battlefield 1. If so, friend him on the PSN. Rain, go away.
Plague Road was released for Vita on June 6, 2017. I am now doing the Kind of Funny Games Daily You're Wrong segment.
Remember, if you're watching live, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screwed up. Be our stat boy before we close out the show. Tim's still checking.
There's a lot of iffy ones here.
Stop editorializing.
There's some editorializing things. Some of them interesting editorializations, though. I mean, like this right here, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands was a miss. No, it's currently the top selling game of 2017, followed by For Honor. Also,
you. I meant for me. You know, exactly. We did that. We did NPDs on the show this week. No, last. God, what day is it?
And then here's an interesting thing that's correcting something from yesterday.
Oh, fuck.
It's not even correcting. It's more of an interesting question that I even want to bring up. So, hey, Greg and Tim, just on my to correct one of yesterday's corrections. Days Gone must have been playable or hands-on in some form, as it's up for Best Action Adventure Game in the Game Critic Awards. Mm. It does not appear in the list of ineligible, non-playable games. And as Greg and Andrea said yesterday, hands-on time is a requirement for awards eligibility. Alternatively, it's possible that it was nominated erroneously, but every other nominated game was playable, so that seems unlikely. This is from Sam N.W. I can confirm that Days Gone was not playable at E3.
That's what I thought too. Andrea said one of her friends did. I was a judge, but I didn't make a big stink about it. So maybe if I would have been able to go hands on with Days Gone behind closed doors.
Hmm. Interesting. I doubt it. Based on the.
I mean, if it got nominated, demo. That's the point though. Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on. Best action game, he said?
Yeah. Action adventure.
Oh no, that would have made sense. Let me do this. I'm gonna throw this open. I'm gonna open this thing. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna keep talking to you through it though. You know what I mean? Because I don't want you to not know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Jeff Keighley. What did Jeff say here? Nominees.
Anyway, that's it. All the guidelines. Other stuff are wrong.
Okay. Okay. No one in EA Play.
Or here editorializations.
No.
It's a fun word to say.
Fuck. Here we go.
You know what I mean, Greg?
Yeah, I totally know what I mean. Mm-hmm. We're doing great. We're doing great. We're doing great. We're doing great. This is good content.
It is good. You know what? I'm just going to read some of the
Start signing off, and I'll have it by the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily for June 27th, 17. We got to make that a thing. Hopefully you had a good time joining us today on this Kind of Funny Games Daily. I know I had a great time. I love this show.
I love the show quite a bit, too. I'm very proud of it. Everybody's been very supportive of it. I like that a lot.
And it's been great. Again, you can watch us on YouTube. You can watch us on Twitch. You can listen on iTunes or any of the podcast people around the world and all of that
stuff. No, I just fucked up. Apparently, Days Gone was somewhere I could have played this fucking thing.
What?
If I would have begged somebody somewhere, if I would have said, please, Shuhei. Please, Eric Jensen. But no.
Interesting.
They all spat on me. And that's why you got nominated for nothing. Congratulations, Eric Jensen.
Did not let me play. I looked him in the eye and I said, I really think this game looks cool. And he didn't offer
it. This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for watching. Remember, we're a new podcast. We need your support. Please go subscribe on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or the podcast. Actually, and the podcast service of your choice. Rate us there. Give us the subscription and then watch it or wherever you want to watch it. Just check out afterwards. Remember, if you're one of the people watching right now live on Twitch, thanks for the corrections on kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. We're going to sign off, end the show, and I'll pop back up here live to read your tips and subs that you have been leaving throughout the day. Thank you. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.